Hi, y'all. Welcome back to Samantha's Beauty Confessions. It's the last Monday of the month, which normally means that we would be doing a favorite things episode. However, we're going to be changing things up a little bit because, you know, the reason I started this podcast in the first place was to have a place to come and discuss things that are deeper, are more serious, are more, you know, inspiring and empowering and just so much more than what I'm able to share on Instagram, right? And I feel like, although I do love sharing my favorite things with you each month, that maybe that is going to have to just live on Instagram, and the episodes on this podcast are going to stick to the reason I started it in the first place. We'll see how this goes. We'll see how y'all react to it, but it's what my gut's telling me to do, so that's what we're going to stick with for now. Today, I am going to be talking to Haley Davenport, who actually was a client of mine years ago. Haley and I haven't talked in several years, but whenever I got diagnosed with PCOS, I reached out to her in hopes that she'd be able to help me, to give me some info on that. Because a little side story, Haley is a personal trainer, and in my opinion, she's this health and wellness expert. I don't know if that's what she'd call herself, but that's what I think of her as. And I can remember when she would come into her appointment, she would have just left the gym either training a client or working out on her own, and she'd be drinking this big thing of water or have a protein shake or like a little snack box of some sort. And I just remember thinking like, wow, she is so freaking healthy. And so whenever I was having to make changes to my diet after I got diagnosed, she was the first person that came to my mind. And so today's episode was actually supposed to be about that, about different foods to eat, things to avoid if you also have PCOS. But then a couple of days before we actually recorded, I went out on a limb, I just had this gut feeling, and I asked her if she would be willing to open up at all about her personal story. So, through social media, I had seen that over the years, she had been through a lot. She'd been diagnosed with cancer, and during her journey battling with that, she was actually pregnant, and she also had gone through a divorce. And so, you know, going back to why I started this podcast, I wanted it to be a place where people could come on and be open and vulnerable and share raw and real stories with all of you. But rightfully so, a lot of people get uncomfortable with this and, you know, don't want to open up about their personal story for whatever reason. But I had this gut feeling and I decided to shoot my shot. And much to my surprise, she was more than willing. And she actually told me that she had been feeling called to share this story. So it's just crazy how life works out. After hearing everything that Haley has gone through, I'm truly in awe. She is such an inspiration. She has so much positivity to share, even after going through something so dark. And I know her story is going to help so many of you. Before we get into the episode, I do want to give a warning because we do discuss themes of emotional and physical abuse, manipulation, and the challenges of ending a relationship with a narcissist. And although our goal here is to foster understanding and support, I know that this topic may be harder to hear for some, so definitely listen with caution. And now, let's welcome Haley to the podcast. Welcome to Samantha's Beauty Confessions, where we engage in authentic conversations and confess everything it takes to turn our dreams into a reality. Together, we'll unlock your unique beauty and guide you toward living the life of your dreams. Get ready to go beyond the highlight reel, embrace the journey, and grow together, one conversation at a time. Okay, so normally, whenever I start an episode, I will share like who the guest is, what we're going to talk about, what the audience can get out of it. But since today's episode it's all about Haley, I wanted her to kind of have control of the narrative because it's her personal situation. And I wanted to be, you know, respectful of that and sensitive to that. And so I want Haley to share like what it is that we're going to be talking about, what it is that you went through, what you were, you know, however you want to word it, what you were able to overcome, and just kind of the reason that you feel inspired to share it with people.
Yeah. So I guess you could say that I feel called to share my story because I feel like there is a stigma and there's so much, gosh, there's so much shame and there's just, I don't know, there's just not a lot of open and honest discussion about it. And so I really want to just spread the word about what it's like to one, be in a narcissistic marriage, but then also divorce a narcissist and everything that comes with that, and what healing truly, just how freeing it truly is. And just once you're, I don't know, once you finally are on the outside of it and you look back, you're just like, oh my gosh, like you're just like, how did I survive that? And so I just want to just be a source of, just for other women to know that they can get out and there is a beautiful, beautiful world full of safe people that you can trust on the other side.
No, I totally agree. And I think that just, I've been wanting to share stories like this on this podcast, and I haven't yet because people are, whether it's shame or whether they aren't ready to open up about it or accept it or whatever, like there's just so many layers to toxic relationships as a whole. And I just think that anybody listening, like, even if it just puts a little glimmer in their life of like, okay, there is hope on the other side. So I'm just so glad
Right.
that you're willing to talk about it. And I, for anyone listening, like, I really don't know much about the situation at all. And so like this conversation is going to be really like real, in the terms
Yeah.
of nothing's like scripted out on my end at all, because number one, I didn't know what she was willing to talk about. And number two, I don't really know much. So I didn't have like any questions to go off of. But maybe start by saying or talking about, like, because how long were you married?
So we were together for 12 years, but we were married for 6.
Okay.
So we were together from 2010 until 2022. Pretty much most of my adult life. I'm 34 now, and I left when I was 32. So pretty much my entire adult life, I was in that relationship.
So do you feel like, hindsight's always 2020, but like now that you can look back in it, I know it's harder to see when you're in the moment, but do you feel like there was always signs of like the narcissism or just the toxicity of it?
Oh, absolutely. One, I mean, I was the perfect target for, or I guess the perfect prey for a narcissist. I mean, you got to think, we were 20 when we met. Okay. So, I'm this 20-year-old. I had dropped out of OSU. I was, just had no life goals. I'd been through a lot of trauma throughout my teenage years. I was pretty selfish, but also had low self-esteem and just in this like aimless point in life. And just like I said, the perfect prey for someone like him to come in. And because they start with the you talk they talk about the love bombing phase. And like, you hear all these things and you're like, oh, every like, no, this is real. It's a cycle. And it's real. Looking back, you can see it. And it's like, I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, he is the nicest guy I've ever met. I was like, I'm not dating jerks anymore. I'm not gonna, just go for like looks or like, he's so nice. He treats me so well. He was like buying me all these things. He was, he was like, I'm so in love with you. I want to get, this is within like the first few weeks, and I'm just like, oh my God, okay, like save me from
This
my,
is
like,
meant to
just,
be, this is my
yeah, like,
soulmate.
yeah, like just save me from this aimless point in my life. And this is like within a month, and then we're like living together, but he lives with his mom, but it was just him and his mom. And it was just, so I move in with them, and it's just like we are going places and buying me things, and he's letting me drive his truck, and just all this, just like, oh, this whirlwind of like, oh, this whole new life. And but then like about 2 months into it, I see these text messages on his phone, and there's like naked pictures of girls. And he had been cheating on me the entire time that all this was going on. And so I'm like, but then you're like, but what? Like, he's saying he's in love with me and all these wonderful things, and I live here now. And like, so that's when it's like you feel trapped, and you're like, like, what do you do? And so, like, we broke up because that's the thing you do when someone's cheating, right? But then the love bombing came back and was like, oh my God, I love you. I don't want to live without you. I'll do anything, blah, blah, blah. And so, me not being strong and confident in who I was, I went right back.
Yeah, and narcissists are like, they're charming, like that's the one thing about them that no one knows what they're doing behind closed doors because how they act in public is so positive and you're just like attracted to that personality. So I'm sure when you saw those that stuff on his phone that you're like, yeah, but everybody has, I don't know. I think that growing up we hear like marriage is hard and everyone has issues. And so you kind of have that in the back of your head. And I'm saying this from experience, but like you have that in the back of your head counteracting this stuff that you know is wrong. And it's kind of like this push and pull.
And like he had mentioned this toward, towards the end, he was like, everybody cheats. I'm like, no, that's not actually not, that's a not true. But in your
Absolutely.
world, everybody cheats. Not in the real world, but yeah, they are like chameleons. They'll adapt to any friend group they're in because they want to be liked. They don't want to cause conflict or friction. And bring attention to themselves for that. Like they want to do it all behind closed doors. And so that's how he got away with what he got away with for so long because that's nobody knew. Like everybody was like, he's this charming people person that'll do, you could call him in the middle of the night, he'd drop everything and go help you. Like, but nobody knew what he was doing. He just so.
And you weren't talking about it, right? Because it's
Well,
embarrassing.
yeah, but right. And it's like so, that cycle of the love bombing and then the fight, or they'll kind of break you down and then to build you back up. And then, but each time you get built up less and less until you're just kind of like this, just like shell of yourself. And they make you think that like you're crazy, and they make other people think you're crazy. And that's where it's like you start to feel like, am I crazy? Like everybody else likes this guy, so am I the problem? I am making him this way because there's something wrong with me. And it you that's how you get stuck. You get stuck because they mess with your mind so hardcore that you don't even realize it's happening until it's happened. And it's terrifying.
And you can look back on it.
Oh, now, and gosh, I every day a little bit, because they say it takes around 3 years to regulate your nervous system after being in a traumatic relationship. Yeah, so each day, and it's been about 1.5 years, so I'm still like in the middle of the healing part, but each day I look back and I'm like, oh my God, it gets crazier and crazier to me that that was real. I allowed that stuff to happen to me because it's like, it's just so, but you know what's wrong at the time, you know what's crazy at the time, but looking back, it's like, wow, like that was nothing about that was okay at all.
So what was it though that like, and I know exactly what you mean by knowing like going to bed at night and thinking something about this is not right, but just not having the confidence to do something different because it's scary. So like, what was it that finally made you be like, no more? Like I have to leave no matter how scary it is, no matter how embarrassed I am or whatever.
Well, so to kind of backtrack, we broke up, got back together. Well, within a few months, I got pregnant with our daughter, who is now, she's 11 now. So that's when I really got hooked in, was getting pregnant. Because I was like, I'd won. And there was a lot of shame with that too, because it was just like, oh my gosh, now I'm pregnant with this guy that I know cheats on me, that I know is, mentally and emotionally not safe for me. And but you just, especially when you get pregnant, you just have this dream of having that perfect little family, and you don't want to be a statistic. You don't want your daughter to grow up in a broken home. And so you stick it out thinking that my thought was, if I become the best version of myself, then he will become better, you know? And it was almost like not almost, I know for a fact, the better I became, the worse he got, because the more light
He didn't like
you
that.
shine, no, it brings light to what they're doing. They can't hide in the shadows if you're just this bright light that's achieving and being, you know, just out in the world. They want to keep you hidden. And he did manage that. You know, I tried to get better once I had my daughter, but it just got worse. And then you're just isolated. I mean, I had no job because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. So I had no job, no finances. Because the financial abuse is also a really that's a thing that a lot of people don't talk about either. That's something that legally no one can be like, oh, well, that's financial abuse. Like it, but it is. And so no money. He's spending all of our money. Like me and my daughter, like I tried to make it the most magical little world for her, but and I always said, you know, always in my mind, I was like, it's gonna get better before she knows what's going on. Or
Right.
you know, I'm gonna do something different before she knows what's going on. And that did not happen. So we stay together. Then, you know, I end up getting pregnant with my son in 2020, and you know, went through I was actually got found out I had cancer when I found out I was pregnant. So that was a big turning point in our marriage, because I had to start letting people into my life to help me. I had to start letting people,
Yeah,
because
you were
I needed
sick.
help. I was sick, I was pregnant, and you know, and I feel like that was a huge turning point for me and my strength to get out. I feel like that's where I started my journey out, because I had to let people in. And that's one of the biggest things, is like we talked about the isolation. You're so isolated, and you're the shame of being abused, especially for strong women, because I'm like, I'm a strong woman, you want to be a strong woman, and it's who you are at your core, but that's not who you are when you're in a toxic, like narcissistic relationship. I mean, it's who you are, but that's not who they let you be. So there's a lot of embarrassment. And so I had to let people in. I had to let people help me. And so that started to build my trust with people outside of my little isolated world that I had been put in. And that really sent him, he got darker and darker and started doing more and more bizarre things and started really distancing himself. I guess the more I let, you know, the world see who I truly was, you know, and the more attention I got, a lot of attention, because I was pregnant and had cancer. That's kind of, you know, it's not heard of a lot.
For sure, it's crazy.
Unfortunately, I was got attention for that, but so, I mean, there's one time, you know, they wanted to put on a big benefit for us and a benefit team roping, and he wouldn't let them do it because he didn't want people to think we needed money. I'm like, people are wanting to support us and wanting to care. They care about us. It's not, you know, so it's just things, little things like that. And then a couple of my friends did, they raised money. They did burpees and raised money for me. However many dollars were donated, they did a burpee. And he got so mad that they did that. And I'm like, why? Like, that's
Well, and
so
that's a normal thing to
silly.
do when someone is going through something like that, is to do a fundraiser of some sort, whether you need the money or whether you don't. It's just normal to do that.
Yeah, it's and just things like that. Yeah.
So was it
But
like when you say that you were letting people in your life, were you like at this point, had you started telling people like, or were they picking up on his attitude that maybe they didn't see before or anything?
well, so I had started opened a gym. I'd started doing personal training, and then I'd opened my own gym. So I had a lot of women in my life, and that became really close friends. And you know, there were a couple of instances when it did turn to physical abuse, and you know, and they saw those things. They saw the bruises and they saw, but I still couldn't, I still couldn't say like, oh, I'm being abused, because the abuse is not a daily like, oh, you're just in a corner cowering. It
Right.
was like, the physical was, it just happened a few times and it was like, holy cow. It was like, is this, am I abused, or is this something that I've caused? And this is just like a one-time thing, or did I do this? Did I cause him to do this? Was this my fault? And a lot of the times, I felt a lot of shame, because I don't know if you've ever heard of reactive abuse, where they will basically push your buttons. They know what to do. They'll push and push and push and push until you have a big reaction.
Yeah,
And
I've
then
never
they're
heard of
like,
that, but
look,
now, yeah,
yes.
now that you're saying it, I'm like,
Then,
wow.
yeah, they're like, look, you're crazy. Look at you. You're the crazy one. You are why I am the way that I am. But they just badgered and badgered until you
You
lose
have a
it.
breaking point. I mean,
And
everyone
then
does.
they're like, you're crazy. Yeah. And so then you're
Like,
like,
you're yelling at me, you're screaming at me, like, you're the crazy one. And it's like, no, I just listened to you for 2 weeks saying the same thing over and over, and I finally, snapped.
And it's like, and he always used to say, well, I lie to you because you don't trust me. So the gaslighting is like bizarre. And I'm like, I don't trust you because you lie to me. And but he can't, not just him, any narcissist is like, I don't, it's like their reality, they've created this reality that's just, they live in a false reality, but they want you to think you are the one in the false reality. And
It's
you're
crazy.
crazy, and they force you to live in that. And it's you, at some point, you do think that you're crazy. And
Oh,
you
yeah.
do think that, like, you are the problem. There was at some points that I thought, like, am I a narcissist? Am I the, like, but I'm pretty sure if you are wondering if you're a narcissist,
You're not.
you're
That's what I
not a
was going to say. Yep.
narcissist.
If you have that thought, because like you said, narcissistic people, like they don't live in the reality of, like they think what they're doing is okay. So if you have that thought, that's what therapists will tell you, that you're not a narcissist.
You asked me if people knew. They started to notice, because I got close with a few of my clients. They became my good friends, but I still was never like, hey, this is what's happening. The having the cancer, that really, that just kind of that kind of saved me in a way, because it finally it I feel like it made me be my true self, and it made me, one, realize that I am so much stronger than he ever allowed me to be. And it made me realize, like, life, there's so much to life, and this is not okay. Like, this isn't the life I want. This isn't the life I want for my kids. This isn't okay. And so we make it through cancer. We make it, I finished chemo April 3rd of 2020. I have my son May 21st of 2020. I have my big surgery where they remove everything. So I'm in surgical menopause at 30 with a newborn.
Golly,
And
yeah.
so this was like June 30th I had my surgery. And then on the 4th of July, so what, like not even a week later, him and my daughter, they go to the parade in the 4th of July parade, and they don't come home until he leaves me home with the newborn baby. I literally just had all of my organs removed like
Less than a week ago. That's
less
crazy.
than a week ago, and he they stay out until like midnight, and he comes home and he had been drinking, and I'm just like, I am like dying here. Like, and plus you have our child. It was stuff like that that started to spiral, and he just started to just his behavior got more and more open, and more just like just flat out just neglecting us. And it kind of all snowballed from there. So let's see, what was that, 2020? A lot happened within 2020 to 2022. We started building a home, which was a terrible idea. But, you know, we were still just in this weird, like, we're trying to make it work, yet we're not really, we don't really have a marriage, but we're
because now you have two kids.
Married. Now we have two kids. And it's like, it was just this weird, weird time in our life. But so what finally my breaking point was, we had went out to dinner and we had, you know, had a few beers. We went and ate Mexican food. We had had a few beers. We had went out to the rent house, or not the rent house. We had went out to the new house to check on the tile. And then we got home and he just, like, he just went off the deep end. And he went off the deep end. He had been drinking. He had been drinking all day. So he was pretty gone by then. And so he's trying to leave the house. And I'm like, you know, no, like, let's, I was like, everything's fine. I was being as calm as I could be, because I learned that, you know, being calm, it helps control the situation instead of reacting and be like, no, like, what, you know, just the calmer I was, the safer I felt being calm. Cause I got to see him, you know, I was able to see his real reactions better when I was calm and I felt safer and in control of the situation. But so I'm like trying to get him to just calm down, sit back down. I was like, it's okay. Everything, we're good. Like, it's okay. I was like, I'm going to go, like, you just, you know, I was trying to just diffuse the situation. Well, he ends up leaving, going out the front door. And so I just locked the door and, like, me and the kids, I go, going to go put, we were just going to go get ready for bed. My son was already asleep and he gets the stroller on the front porch and just starts slamming the stroller into the front door. And I'm like, what is going on? He's screaming profanity, like, just screaming things. And we, at the time, we're living in a neighborhood in a rent house. So we have,
I mean, neighbors,
like, next door neighbors. So all of that, he's screaming, banging and stuff. And I'm like, what on earth? And so I see his keys. And so he actually runs around back and starts banging on our bedroom window. And so I open the front door, I beep his truck and I throw the keys out, thinking like, that's he was wanting. And so I'm like, okay, he comes back and starts doing it again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what is happening? So I call my friend, and still see here, like, I still couldn't admit that this was happening. I called my friend and I was like, hey, because I let her in on what was going on at this point. I was like, hey, I was like, is this when I call 911? I was like, do I need, like, or is, am I overreacting? See, I still felt like I was like just crazy and just overthinking all of it. And she was like, no, absolutely call right now. And so I'm like, okay. And I just hang up and I'm still hesitant, but he is screaming, banging. And so I get on the phone with the police, or with the dispatch. And they're like, you know, they're sending someone over. And as I'm on the phone with them, he kicks in the, or gets in the garage somehow. I think he kicks the door in. Then he kicks in the door that comes from the garage to the kitchen. And so me and my daughter take off to my bedroom where my son is. I lock the door. I throw the kids in the closet, and he comes and kicks in the bedroom door to get to us. And the whole time, and he's screaming, you know, call the cops, you bleep, 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 call them, call them. And I'm like, as soon as he kicks in the door, the police show up at the house.
Oh, thank God.
And I'm just like, what did he want to get? What was he doing? What was he trying to get to?
Yeah.
Was he trying, like, you know, why was he trying to get to us? Is the part that it just, I still to this day,
you
don't know what would have happened if he would have made it to us. All I can see, I just see my babies in the closet.
For sure.
You know, like, they're just sitting in the closet, terrified, not knowing what's going on. And then, and then he's kicking in the door, screaming horrible things at their mother. And it's like, that was my, he came after my kids. And that is what, it completely cut any ties I had to him. Like, at that point, I was done. There was no going back in the cycle and, continuing that whole, there was no hope. There was no, not even hope. There was no, like, he was dead to me. All the goodness that I believed that was there was gone. And I
Yeah,
was like, you came
and
after my babies.
you'd called someone, which I think like once one person knows, you said you had told like one of your friends, but then you'd added in the police. And so then it gets into this like weird emotional battle where it's like, okay, this person knows, but like she's my really good friend. She'll love me if I stay. But then when you keep adding people on, the more people you tell, the more real it gets because people are asking you, like holding you accountable, kind of, like, what are you gonna do? You know what I'm saying?
And then that's where a lot of the like I did over the years, I'd kind of like I would let my sisters or my sister in a lot. I didn't tell both of them, but I mean they knew, they both knew, but I would, complain and then say that I know I need to leave. I knew I needed to leave, but then I would stay. And so it's like it's basically like the boy that cried wolf, because you eventually just like and then you eventually stop talking about it because you're like, I know that I'm just looking like an idiot, because I'm saying all these things that are true, that I know I need to leave and I know I need to do this, and I know these people are getting tired
The same
of
stuff.
me. But you just, the part that I really want people to understand is that like you're not crazy for staying. It doesn't mean like if you stay, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It's like you've been conditioned to this lifestyle, and chaos, although it's wrong, it feels comfortable because it's your normal. It's not normal, but it's your
Well,
normal.
and you're brainwashed.
Yes, you
I mean,
are. And
really.
that's and it's in that's a thing that's it's embarrassing to admit, but like because you don't know how you don't know how you got there. You can look back and you can break down each event and you're still like, but how? How did I if some if one of my friends told me that they were experiencing the same thing, I would be like, get out, like why are you saying? Like why like, but you they pick people that are empathetic. And
For sure.
that is and they just love that because they know we're gonna keep giving them chances.
We're forgiving.
Because we see the good in people. Like I like to see people, especially now, I like to see people for who they like why they do things. I'm like, okay, what happened to you for you to
Me
be
too.
this way,
Me too,
and
Haley. But
I
I didn't
think
used to
that
be like that either, but now I really am.
And I feel like, and what's funny, I think about, especially us doing this is because you did my hair for so long and you had no idea. You had no idea what I was going through. And it's
And you
like,
had no
how
idea what
many,
I was going, you know what I'm
I
saying?
didn't,
Like,
we could have bonded over that. And it's like, and that's what it, that's why being open and honest and having these forums to talk about things like this is so important because like you don't know what someone's going through. I mean, like we both probably thought like that we both had it all together, and we both were like such strong, but I do, I mean, this is the first time we've talked in years and I do see I see a light in you and a difference in you that, I didn't know, didn't, it's like you didn't
I'm
realize that
gonna
you
start
didn't know.
crying. I'm
Yeah,
like
you're
getting
gonna
all
make me
emotional.
cry. We're gonna like, but yeah, there's just
But it's
such a
true.
difference.
Like you changed so much, and like that, like so the night that you had to like call the police and stuff, and did you leave the home that night or did he leave the home that night?
And me and the kids had to be escorted out. They gave us, because there were no physical marks on us, and I had never reported, even if I would have just reported an incident, not filed charges, just reported an incident, because I had never reported and there were no physical marks on us. Not to mention, all the doors are kicked off the hinges in our home.
Yeah, but it's
And
like
my children
that's
are,
not enough, clearly, but like it should
like
be.
that's normal. It happens, No, like that they could not arrest him that night. And so they gave us like 5 minutes to pack just the necessities and the clothes on our back. And we got escorted to the police station where we waited for my ex-stepdad, my other stepdad, and his, I don't know, Heath and Tiffany is what we call them, but Like, we have such an awesome, like, big family. But they came in the middle of the night. I think, gosh, it had to have been like close to like 1 o'clock in the morning, I think. I may be so wrong. That there's a it's a big, like, just it's all a blur. But they came in the middle of the night to save us. And like, I'm gonna start crying. Like, I remember Heath walking in, and I'm just like, I don't know. It's just this, like, this relief, but also like so. Not, I don't even know if shame is the word, but you're sitting at this police station with your two kids, and you're just like, you feel, maybe it is shame. You're just like, dang it, like, how did I get here?
Yeah, and how am I going to reverse all that my kids just saw? I mean, you just probably start spiraling.
Yeah, but so they take us. We were actually escorted out of town. He drove my truck, and we, the kids and I, rode with Tiffany, and we were escorted out of town by police. But the entire time that I'm sitting in the police station, he called me, I think he called me 64 times. 64 times. And then he, the text messages that he was sending, he's like, I'm cutting off all access to the cards. He's like, was basically just like threat after threat.
Because he knew that's what he had on you. He knew that you didn't have a job. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, and he
Yeah.
knew that was something over your head, which is so sick.
Yeah, to think that money mattered more than my children's lives, absolutely not. And just to build on that, that has been a huge thing through the whole divorce process. I knew it would, and that's the scariest part once you have kids with a narcissist. That's why it is so important to get out early if if you're going to go that route, like, because now I have kids that I have to share with this person. And what kept me, another part that kept me in so long was that I was able to control the situation where, when my kids were involved, to a degree, I was able to like be that buffer of like, okay, let's kind of, manipulate this here, here, and here. So my kids aren't like fully immersed in it. But so divorcing a narcissist is, I don't want to say it's worse than being married to one, but it is. They're definitely, this is why this whole conversation needs to happen, because I did not understand what I was getting myself into. Like, I mean, I knew I was free. Like, I was felt like I was free of that, but I did not, I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't know how bad it was going to get after, after we left. He actually, I did end up filing charges. So he got charged with domestic violence in front of a minor. And he, which says a lot, because the DA, the police report, goes across the DA's desk, and they're like, oh, this is, because he didn't, there weren't marks on us. So you get what I'm saying? Like, it was bad enough. The situation was bad enough that,
They could
they
validate
saw
it.
fit, yes. And so there was actually a no contact order for about 8 months. So he was not allowed to speak or see me or the kids for that long. And that was the best thing for all of us. That is one thing that I will preach: go no contact. Once you leave, you have to go no contact, because if not, you will get sucked back in. Like, you, the going no contact was like, it was the, the way it all lined up, like the way God orchestrated the departure of that marriage, was absolutely perfect. Traumatizing, of course, but it had to happen the way it did to keep us out. And so, yeah, no contact was, it was great, because it allowed me time to heal and just enough to kind of get out of the cycle and not fall back in. Because they talk about, abuse aftershock is a big thing too, where you're like, you literally, it's almost like you're having withdrawals if you were, like an addict or something. Like, your body has physical withdrawals. Like, I remember my back was in so much pain that I thought that my cancer had metastasized to my bones. Like, I thought that, like, I was dying, because I was in so much physical pain. And I mean, just like shaking, I shook all the time. Like, just coming off of that, like, my nervous system trying to regulate itself, it, like, realize, like, hey, you're in a safe environment, because you're always in this hyper, your senses are just like, you're just hyper aware of everything.
Like you don't know how to handle the calm, you know, like the calm makes you crazy.
calm is like, what is happening? Like, this doesn't feel right. You're always ready for something to happen because chaos is normal. You get that cycle becomes normal of the love bombing and then the breaking you down and then the love bombing, it just becomes normal. You know to expect chaos, I guess.
Yeah.
So being around safe people was, you don't know who is safe because you don't, like, you're just so hyper
you're waiting
aware
on the other
of
shoe to
everyone.
drop, that was like my experience. So were you in therapy though at this point, or?
I was, so reverse a tiny bit. We, before all this went down, we had both separately went to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And because we wanted to do it separate, or I wanted to do it separate before we did it together, because I feel like we needed to work on ourselves. And it was not the right, I don't know what he experienced. I know what I experienced was not the right type of counseling for my situation. And so I went to like 3 or 4 sessions. And after that last session, the things that, she was suggesting, I don't know. I always wonder, like, if I went back and told her what ended up happening, she would probably regret what she had suggested to do. So
mm-hmm.
I have a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth about like counseling and therapy. Not,
mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful, but I had such a bad experience that I've just been so iffy to like get back into that.
No, I totally get it.
Yeah, but it's a great, great resource. I'm not saying that it's not. Just for me, I had a really bad experience. So, but that's what's kind of led me to speak more openly about what I have experienced and how I've made it to this point. So people that, might be on the fence about therapy, or at least will have a source of, just have something to go off of.
Because it's weird that just like, yes, therapy, like sometimes you need a professional. And the therapy that worked best for me, because I had a similar experience as what you said, was called like traditional talk therapy. I was like a stone wall and I couldn't hardly open up because my dad is a narcissist. My ex-husband, I don't know if I think he's manipulative or a narcissist. I don't know what he is, but he's something. And so those two men in my life combined, like I was walled off. But EMDR therapy, which kind of reprocesses your traumatic moments in your brain, I think they designed it for military, ex-military people that were suffering with PTSD. Anyway, that really helped me because it's tapping motions to kind of distract your brain from blocking off those memories. And anyway, that's how I was able to open up. But what else helped me was talking to my clients every day. And just like, you get to a point where like, I remember at first people were like, you don't have to tell everybody like every little detail like about your divorce. And it's like, I know, I want to though, because it's helping me. Just literally saying it out loud to a wall even. I mean, just speaking it out loud and sharing it like verbally does so much.
Yeah. And it allows it gets it off of your chest. Like it literally feels sometimes it gets it off of your, just off your heart. And it, I feel like it probably, it helps you bond with people through similar experiences. And, being perfect all the time is great. That's wonderful. But people bond through pain and they bond through,
healing.
Healing and yes. And just being human together, not this perfect version of like, I just picture us back in the day when you were so like beautiful and perfect doing my hair and I was sitting here on all like blonde and perfect and like in my little workout clothes and like we just had these perfect little like fake lives. And it's like we had so much we could have talked about and been there for each other. And it's wild to know that you can spend so many hours with someone and not have a clue what is going on. Like,
yeah.
And
or
that's
you
what
could
I
be
just
married
wanted.
To someone and not know who the hell they even are,
That right. And that's, and it, I think that is, that's scary, not scary. That's what causes so much fear about opening up, because you have this person who has vowed to love you and care for you. And this person that you think knows you better than anyone, who you lay with every single night. You you get in bed next to this human every single night. And when you realize that like they're capable of what they're capable of, it just shatters you. because it's like, how do you trust anyone if you can't trust this person that you are with every single day? Like, it's just the most bizarre. I don't know. It's just bizarre. I don't know how you do that to a human at all. Like, to another human, like, it's wild. And not to say that I was a perfect person, all those years. Like, I had my share of mistakes and my share of growing and maturing and, becoming who I am. But that's the thing is, I was trying to grow and I was trying to become better and, become a better mother and a better, just a better human being. And that's the difference is like, you have one person who is just, they're just comfortable in that, like, live in that toxic lifestyle. They thrive on it. And then you have the other person that's like trying to climb out. And I don't know. It's wild. It's just wild that so many people experience it.
But now, like with kids, because that's something that I don't know about, but I grew up in a divorced family with a narcissistic dad. So, like, I saw the differences in my mom and in him, how they were to me, things they said to me, how they reacted differently. And do you feel like your kids, which I didn't see anything like that when I was younger, so I didn't have this like idea of my dad necessarily. I just knew my parents were very different people. But do you feel like your daughter specifically, because she's older, does she ask questions about it? Like, did she go to therapy? How are you dealing with that side of it?
Right. So she was there because she was 10 when I left. So she was there for all of it. And there are some moments that she experienced a lot, and it's heartbreaking as a mother. It's heartbreaking to know that, like I said, I always thought like, oh, it'll get better before she knows, or I'll get out before she knows. Or she struggles because she loves her dad. I mean, it's her dad,
Yeah, absolutely.
like she still sees him, she wants to see him as she always says, every night she prays, she's like, I pray that my mom won't get cancer again, and that my dad will, that my dad will get better and, be a better person. And I'm just like, but she loves her dad. I mean, her dad,
Yeah.
I guess he's just always been who he is for her. Like, it's not this new change of like, oh my gosh, my dad's a terrible human. Like, he's just always been her dad, and
Right.
they just kind of, that's just who she's always known, I
Yeah.
guess. So I don't want to say not as big of a deal, but she just kind of, it's just like, now my parents aren't together. My dad's still the same person, but they're just not together. And I'm sure he is much better because we were not good together,
Yeah.
obviously. Not, so he is probably, I'm sure he is better when she is around him now, because we're not in that like toxic environment. I don't know, but I would hope that he's better not being around me, I would think. But
Yeah, and you want that for your kids. You know,
right.
that's what my mom always said is she never said a negative word about my dad growing up. And even still, I haven't talked to my dad in almost a decade, I guess. And she see, which is another weird thing. I wasn't talking to my dad even when I was doing your hair, but I never told you that probably. I mean, I never
Right.
told anybody any of that stuff, but I figured things out on my own. And even today, still, I mean, I'm 33 years old. She barely will like open up and say, like, yeah, this happened when you were younger. Like, I have to ask her because she doesn't want to give me this false narrative from her perspective. She wants me to just kind of figure things out on my own, which I'm thankful for. But I mean, yes, there's like bad and good to each side of it. But like your daughter
Right.
seeing that kind of and having her eyes open to that, like I see the like good in that, you know, she's
Yeah.
gonna know what to not expect or like tolerate from a man.
Right. And that's what I hope, and I pray, like, I mean, 'cause I want him so bad. I so want him. I want good for him. I mean, he's the
Right.
father of my children. That is my dream. Just for I would love. I'm not saying I want to be this like, oh, we're gonna do joint birthday parties and we're gonna like have this. No, I want to keep a distance. I want to, like, they call it, I think it's like parallel parenting, but
Right.
like I want good for him. I want him to be a good role model for my children. And, and I do think her seeing what she saw, it she he can't fool her. He can't trick her, which we've had to talk about it a little bit because she, I think he has kind of replaced her or replaced me with her as far as the abuse cycle. Not the abuse. I don't want to say he's abusive to her, but it's just kind of like the manipulation cycle a little bit. Yeah. And as far as therapy for her, we're actually getting her into equine therapy. Because I, you know,
Okay.
for her, she is.
Wait, is that like horses?
Yes. So it's she's not going to be one, I think, sitting down, like in a setting where she had to go sit in a room with someone or like, that kind of, it would make her anxious just knowing her. But I think her having like a responsibility and, being out and just kind of,
Kind of distracting her mind a little bit, you know?
yes. So she can process and just kind of be free, because I think she's gonna be a lot like how you talked about you are about not talking about
For
things.
sure.
I feel like she has that. It's she's already developing that.
She's
So
tough.
just yeah, she is. She is tough, and she's seen the things she's seen, and we can't take it back, but we can just build on that. Try to heal her. And just hopefully her seeing me get out and build the life that we're building will it will register someday. She's 11, so of course we struggle with the preteen mother-daughter re relationship right now, but that's normal. But that's just our my hope is that she sees that she will break the cycle,
For
because my mom
sure.
kind of she her growing up, she kind of experienced a lot of the same stuff I experienced in her marriage. And so I feel like hopefully this will break that cycle. And my ex experienced a lot of the same stuff, with his parents that he did to us. And so hopefully that breaks the cycle for our kids.
For sure.
That's my prayer, but
No,
yeah.
I think that that is so true that, like you said it earlier, that I've always been an empathetic person, but I never allowed myself to get deep with people until all of this stuff happened. But now, like a client could come in and share a story with me, like your sister. I mean, I still do her hair and I like will say stuff that I'm sure sometimes she's like, whoa, that's like really a deep question, you know? But I want to know like why are you saying that or why are you doing that or like the amount of times I've said, you know, what was your home life like growing up, you
I
know? Because
love
that
that.
stuff really matters.
Yes, and see, I love that question. I want that's what I posted something, I think like just yesterday, that was like I can't stand small talk. Like I want to know like your trauma. I want to know why you are the way you are, like, and I just feel like that is what that humanizes everyone and just makes them, I don't know. I just feel like the world is so, can be so cold and so divided and just,
Well, and I think
I don't know.
sometimes when people hear the word trauma, like, 'cause I'm the same way, like I want to hear your trauma. And I think some people can think like, okay, but I don't want to talk about sad stuff all the time, but that's not sad stuff actually, because I'm not
No.
like, we're not talking about it, like sitting here feeling sorry for ourselves. We're talking about it from like an empowered stance of like,
Yes.
you know, we got out of something. And my mom
Yes.
said after my divorce, my mom was like, okay, Samantha, like you can't encourage divorces now from people, because
Yeah.
for a while I was like, oh, your husband is bad to you, freaking leave him, like life's better on the other
So
side.
funny.
So I've had to reel that in a little bit.
I love that. I mean, yeah, like, of course, like, and I do feel like a lot of people do default to divorce instead of, like working through it. But I do feel like for me, I kind of struggled because I didn't want to be divorced. I didn't want, just didn't want that title. I didn't want that on my life. And
Yeah, it's a failure. It's the ultimate failure, really. I mean,
Right. And I think just having open, like an open, honest, experience, or talking about your experience, I think that helps people kind of process and, differentiate, like, okay, like, do I need to stick this out, or is this a toxic, abusive relationship that's not going to turn out well? And, I think that's why having things like this where, you get real life experiences from people, I think it helps, and I hope it
Absolutely.
helps.
Absolutely. No, it will. And honestly, like later, I mean, for people listening, like we were actually going to do this episode about PCOS, but then I started thinking, I'm just going to see if she'll be willing to talk about it. And you were, but like later on, I definitely want to do that episode because PCOS is the same. I mean, there's so much about it that's so complex, and
Oh
I
my
think
gosh,
that,
yes.
you know so much about the health and wellness stuff and like you're like a researcher. I mean, I remember that from when I used to do your hair.
Yeah.
Like you had all these like remedies and stuff, and I'm like, wow, I'm eating all this sugar, and you're like, you need to stop. And now I finally have stopped, but it's been 10 years ago or 8 years ago or whatever. But I think that that conversation will be really helpful as well because
Yes.
you can never have too much knowledge.
No, right. And that's why I'm such a nerd with like researching and like, and I like to just kind of like with this whole thing, it's like I like to know both sides so I can form my own, I like to form my own opinion about everything. And I think that's kind of like the same thing with like, they talking about, narcissists and divorce and staying or going, or it's like you gotta know it all so you can differentiate and you can truly understand like what you should do. And so yeah, I think the PCOS is definitely, there's a lot of stigma around that as well that is not talked about. So
Yeah, we have to do another episode for sure. Like we really do, because even for like me, because I've done my research, but I know you know way more about that stuff than me, because research sometimes is overwhelming to me. But
it is.
we'll have to do that. But I truly like today, I know that this episode, like, not everyone is going to resonate with it, but the people that will, we really will. Do you know what I mean? And like, I resonated with
Yes.
it. And so I know if I did, and if you do, then there will be one person that will
Oh
too.
yeah. Yeah.
And I can't wait
For
for people
sure.
to hear it because I think that it's like we're breaking a stigma. Even this is the first podcast episode I think that I've done with someone that is this personalized. And I know that people are going to love, I mean, if they don't love it, I'll
Yeah.
be shocked, I guess.
It'll be the start of something. Yeah, for
And hopefully
sure.
it'll make more people want to come forward and just share something they've overcome, even though it might feel embarrassing for a second. It'll feel empowering as soon as you're done.
Oh yeah, and that's what, I was anxious. I was like, how is this going to flow? But I mean, it just, when you're talking from your true experience, it just flows, and you just know the right things to say. And like you said, if this just helps one person, that one person will help another person, and then that
Absolutely.
person, and it just, it's that, like it just trickles out, and that is the goal.
Well, thank
For
you
sure.
for sharing everything, and
Yes.
y'all have to check back because we have to do another episode sometime soon.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, thank you so much for having this forum and being willing to share your story also.
Okay, y'all, that's it for today's episode. Be sure to follow the show on whatever platform you're listening and leave a rating and review to show your support so we can continue growing together. If today's episode really resonated with you, you can always share it to your story and be sure to tag me so I can personally thank you. I appreciate each and every one of you, and I'll talk to you again next week.